Welcome to Time Out with Taylor Rooks on the SNY.TV audio network. You know, I say this before every single episode. Before we get started, make sure to subscribe to Time Out with Taylor Rooks on iTunes. You can subscribe on SoundCloud. It's everywhere. So please subscribe, rate it, review it. I would really appreciate it. I love to hear you guys' feedback. Leave me some comments. Leave me some reviews. I will read them. I promise you, I read them. But let's get to today's guest, who is Geno Smith. I am so excited to do this interview, mainly because I've never really heard Geno sit down and talk for an interview. There's really this kind of blanket of mystery around him. You'll see stories in the media, whether they're negative or positive, but you don't always hear him. So I'm happy I was able to have that opportunity to speak to him, get his side of different things. I think there's also some misconceptions that come with Geno. He is extremely thoughtful, extremely intellectual. He has so many different ideas. He's very creative. And I think it would be nice for everybody to see that side of him. Now, obviously, reports coming out today that he will join the Giants pending a physical. I can confirm that. So we do touch on Big Blue and what this year is going to truly mean for him. We even talk about his past with the Jets and what his future is going to look like. He really was an absolute pleasure, so I will stop babbling on and I will let you hear it for yourself. I hope you enjoy. I am so very happy to have you on the podcast, Geno. We need to let everybody know before we get started that he is wearing the sweetest Mets jersey.
Yes, I am a fan. I am a Mets fan.
Big fan. They just tweeted you, said they are a fan of your jersey.
Yes, love it.
It has
actually,
a number seven.
They actually gave it to me, so.
Yeah. I'm sure they're a fan.
Yeah.
Has seven on the back, says Smith. It's dope. So we're off to a good start. Already have on a great top. But can't even start this podcast without telling the viewers this. So one time Geno was wearing a shirt that had the Who on it. And I love the Who. Geno didn't know who the Who was.
I'm sorry. I don't. I only listen to music from the 90s and up. So, unfortunately, I didn't know. But I did like the shirt. They do look like some smooth guys.
They look pretty smooth.
Cool. So,
Are you going to listen to any?
I should probably.
Yeah, I think you got to get onto
Yeah,
the Who.
I probably should.
They're super dope. Okay, tell me who you are listening to right now.
Currently, I downloaded Rick Ross's album.
Okay.
It's pretty sweet. I love Big Sean's new album.
Yes.
I listen to it almost every
day. He keeps getting better. Like,
he's evolving. He's evolving. J. Cole is one of my favorites. You know, Kendrick. Those are like the ones I keep in rotation right now. I even like Solange's new album. I listen to that all the time.
Don't even get me started.
That is a great album.
A Seat at the Table. And it was a dope album because it was her really coming into her own.
Yeah.
Because I think people slept on Solange a bit, obviously, when your sister's Beyonce.
I mean, yeah.
You're going to live in that kind of shadow. But it was her project. She came into her own and she really showed everybody that she has some talent.
I love it. And, you know, I'm a guy. You know, we're not supposed to admit that we listen to stuff like that, but I'm hooked.
Yeah. Everyone loves it. If they say they didn't like it, they're just trying to, like, be manly.
Probably a hater.
Can you spit a little bit?
I can freestyle.
Can you?
In the shower. Every now and then I, you know, kick a freestyle.
Who do you think, like, you kind of emulate the most? If you had to be a rapper, who you picking?
Jay-Z. I mean, I've been a fan of Jay-Z since I was in freaking middle school. I had the S. Dot Carters when no one thought they were cool. I was like the only kid in school with them, but I saw the vision, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is Jay-Z. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, it's similar to wearing Jordans for me. So, of course it would be Jay.
Yeah, and of course you met him because when you were out of college, you were with Roc Nation.
Yeah, it was so crazy because in my high school pictures, the ones that I took, like, for the football team, I was throwing up the Roc Nation, the Roc song.
No, you weren't.
And so it just came into fruition, man. They called me and were like, hey, we want to meet. And I actually got a chance to meet him and talk to him. And we exchanged numbers and we, you know, kind of started a relationship from there. And it just carried on. And then I signed to Roc Nation. And, I mean, it's just been great ever since.
But is it crazy how just life comes full circle like that?
It does, man. You can speak things into existence. My mom always tells me that. And, I mean, it's true.
No, I want to talk about your mom really quick because I know you're super close to her.
Yes.
You know, I just saw, like, she had sent you a text today talking about keeping your faith in God, staying on the right track.
Yes.
Like, where would you be without your mom?
Man, I don't know. I mean, that lady is so strong, man. Like the
example, and so cute.
The example of like a hardworking person, and she set that example for us early, and I think that that has done wonders for me. And I mean, she sends me those text messages every day. Today, she was talking about what I said, you know, speaking things into existence and being careful, you know, with your words and how you choose, you know, the words that you say because they're so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Most valuable thing your mom told you?
Be me.
Yeah.
Be me and never change.
Yeah. I mean, that's what moms do. Like, seriously. So I told you when I was flying to New York, I got stuck at the airport because of the snow.
Yeah.
I called my mom and I'm like, Mom, I need your help. Like, you got to help me. She was like on the phone with United.
Yes.
Telling me the flights that I need to take. I had to sleep in the San Francisco airport, by the way, 5 hours. But
okay.
My mom is the one that like helped me, you know, to get there, figure
Mom's
out
the
right stuff. Like, where would we be without our parents?
I don't know. We need to tell them, if you're listening, call your mom, text her, whatever you have to do, and tell her you love her because
right
they
now,
are the best.
They really are the best. And I think it's funny because as you grow older, you're like, I act just like them.
Yeah.
It's almost scary.
So scary.
Yeah. Because
so
when you're younger, you're like, they're your annoying parents. And you're like, whatever. I'm like, oh, this is something my mom would have said.
Yeah, that's me.
But it's great. It's great. So right now, you were reading 48 Laws of Power.
Yeah.
Is it changing your life?
I don't know if it'll change my life, but there is some good wisdom in there. There's some things that I don't, you know, agree with, but there's some things in there that are actually really good and helpful. So, you know, I kind of take things like that with a grain of salt. I don't really like to, you know, put too much into the books that I read, mm-hmm. but there is some good knowledge in there.
Now, I saw, of course, stalking your Instagram for this interview. You had an excerpt from what I think was Drew Brees' book.
Yes.
Posted. And the quote was, many people would define the good life as one that's free of pain and hardship and heartache, but I've learned that adversity is actually an opportunity. It's a gift, though it may not look like it at the moment. The difficulties life throws at you can be a doorway to something better, something that you hadn't dreamed as possible.
Yeah.
How have those words kind of manifested in, like, your football career?
Well, I mean, you know, you're always going to be faced with obstacles in life, you know, but when you speak specifically about football, I mean, you know, you think about being down in the fourth quarter. You think about, you know, after, you know, having an interception or something, or, you know, just having to be able to bounce back. And so I think, you know, that passage right there really just spoke about life in general and how you will face obstacles. But sometimes you just got to look at those obstacles as stepping stones and really use them, you know, for your benefit. And so you can look at my situation now where, you know, for 2 years I was, you know, on the bench, you know, had to learn, you know, because of a situation that I had no control over.
Right.
And ultimately, man, that has pushed me so much further along than I probably would have ever gotten because, you know, I'm channeling that anger per se, and I'm using it, you know, in the weight room, I'm using it in the classroom, you know, every minute and second that I can use to get better as a football player, I will not let it go by because of that, you know, because there's something inside of me that's pushing me.
Yeah, like those are the things that you really grow from and evolve from, and it as cliche as it sounds, those experiences truly do make you a better person.
Always, always, and so I never, you know, my mom, going back to my mom, she would always say that there's no losses, only lessons. So, I learned from those lessons.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I was telling you, one of the reasons for the listeners that I wanted to have Gino on the podcast is he's truly an interesting person. Like, so interesting, so thoughtful. I mean, and I think that a lot of people don't realize that about you.
Yeah. I mean, most artists are misunderstood. Yeah. And, you know, before I was a football player, I was an artist.
Which I had no clue.
I had to make a decision, you know, in high school because most art schools don't have football teams. So it was either one or the other, and I think I chose the right one. You know, I can always get back into art, but just being an artist early on really shaped my thoughts, and like I see everything in an artistic form, and I think that's kind of where, you know, people may get it misunderstood, but those who see it the way I do, they understand it.
Yeah, and so what type of art were you interested in doing?
Well, it started off with just freehand art, you know, my big sister was very, very talented as an artist, and I wasn't. And I'm very competitive, so like every single day I would go home and I would start drawing. And I started out tracing, and then I got better, you know, just with freehand art. And then my mom entered one of my pictures. I drew a portrait of my uncle, and I think I was maybe 9 or 10 years old, and she had submitted it into a middle school, Northern Middle School, art, and I got accepted where I went to art school for 2 years of junior high. And then, I auditioned for the high schools. I got accepted to the art school, Juilliard in New York.
You were accepted to Juilliard?
Yes. My mom still has all that, too. the ones down on South Beach in the art district. I got accepted, but I couldn't, you know, I couldn't go. I had to play football.
I mean, I think you made the right choice, but this is still dope.
Yeah, like, I mean, I wish art schools would have football teams. I might have to look into that because, you know, I'm pretty sure there's there's other kids out there who have to make that tough decision because, you know, you can be artistic, but you eventually have to let it go because, you know, they don't have football teams.
Yeah, and so obviously you are playing football now, but if you could have chose to be anything else, would it have been an artist?
I don't know. You know, I'm the type of guy that just follows my, you know, my passion. And right now, you know, not even right now, but all along, my passion has been football. You know, I was interested in art because it was something that challenged me. And, you know, eventually I got good. But football has always been my passion.
Yeah. And like you said, artists do tend to be misunderstood. I think that's something that most people know. But do you feel like just you as a person has become misunderstood by a lot of people?
I mean, it could be, but to be honest, I don't even worry about it.
Like, right.
If people don't understand me, you know, then they probably should take a minute and just, you know, try and get to know me, you know, if that's possible, or just, you know, take a look into my background, get to know my family and, you know, where I come from, because those are ultimately the people that, you know, shape your life, and those are the ones who you take after. So if you want to get to know me, look at my mom, you know, hardworking woman, look at my dad, hardworking man, my brothers, my sisters, you know, they're all, you know, we all as a family, we just work hard.
Now, I want to talk about being a quarterback for a bit. My very first episode that I did, I had Tyrod Taylor on, and he was super dope. And we talked about, you know, how you don't see a lot of black quarterbacks and why that may be.
Right.
Why do you think that there is that gap? Do you feel like it's getting better, and are you liking the way the perception of it is changing?
I definitely like the way it's changing. Maybe, you know, back in the days, you know, there were very few. You know, my grandmother's favorite quarterback of all time is Doug Williams.
Yes.
And she told me I needed to, you know, when she was living, she said, you need to copy Doug and, you know, be like Doug. And one of my favorites is Steve McNair. So guys like that.
Steve McNair.
Yeah. Rest in peace. You know, the late great. Guys like that really shaped the way, you know, for guys like myself. You know, then Michael Vick came along. So, like, the game is always going to evolve.
Shout out Georgia, Vick. Yeah.
The game's always going to evolve, and it's continually evolving. And I don't really think it's about, you know, white or black anymore. Mm-hmm. Guys just want, you know, coaches just want quarterbacks who are well-rounded, who can throw, who can run, who are smart, you know, like Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's the perfect example of that. So, I see more and more black quarterbacks out there, but, you know, I don't really think it's that black and white anymore.
For sure, and which is good. It is definitely evolving. But being a quarterback is such a difficult situation. You know, they say when things go right, you get all the credit. When things go wrong, you get all of the blame.
That's the nature of the business.
How do you deal with that?
You just got to, you know, first of all, I mean, you got to have a steady faith because it is challenging. You know, you want to always do good. Everybody wants to, you know, please everyone. I mean, that's just the nature of being a human. But it's impossible to please everybody. So, you know, I don't really worry about the naysayers, anything like that. Instead, I focus on the positives. You know, I look at, you know, ways that I can get better as a person, as a quarterback, as a leader. And, you know, I just take those things into, you know, into account. And I try and get better every day and not really worry about what people say.
So the thing about you is, so obviously before I came to SNY, I was a Big Ten Network, and I have always really loved college sports. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, do not sleep on West Virginia Geno Smith.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You were beasting at West Virginia. I remember you, like, broke Tom Brady's Orange Bowl record.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think it was that Baylor West Virginia game. Stats were off of the charts.
Yeah, that was one. I mean, people still, you know, come up like, man, I remember you threw, you know, 8 touchdowns or whatever. I was like, man.
Yeah, I think you set the record for, like, completions, touchdowns in a game, and something else.
Someone sent me something. I think I have 71 NCAA records still.
Jeez.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I would say so. Didn't mean just light, just light.
Yeah, that's light. I'm not focused on that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still amazing. I mean, being able to, you know, be a great college quarterback and kind of set that path for yourself. How do you have you seen, like, your game evolve from college?
Well, back then it was physical. I was just physically that much better than the guys around me. Mm-hmm. When I got to the NFL, it became a lot more mental.
Right.
The guys are so smart at this level. They find shortcuts if they can. The coaches are so smart. They'll find your weakness and exploit it. And so you've always got to be on top of your game mentally, be mentally sharp at all times. And that's something that I've taken a pride in. So, like, watching film throughout the offseason, you know, with my quarterback coach, Tom House, and Adam and all those guys, you know, watching film, you know, when I get the playbook, being able to get, you know, back into the playbook and really understanding protections, you know, really understanding the ins and outs and nuances that the OC wants to get accomplished, along with, you know, studying defense. You can never know too much about defense, you know. The key to playing quarterback is having the answers to the test. You know, you never want to get caught with the ball. So if you know, you know, this team is a man and I, you know, got a man beater and this is my guy, I'm going to it, then, you know, you go to it and either you complete it or not. But yeah, at least you know the answers to the test. And so that's the whole key to it.
And that is one thing that I think, obviously, draft is coming up. And a lot of people are talking about how college quarterbacks right now, a lot of it is looking to the sideline, getting the play from the coach and just doing. You don't have a lot of pre-snap adjustments.
Yes.
How do they change that so that you are a little, you know, more ready once you get to the NFL level?
Well, I don't know. You know, that's up for them to decide. But
or how did you adapt to
it? I would say, well, luckily I was able to call plays at the line of scrimmage, and I had a lot of freedom. So it wasn't that part of it that was hard. You know, for me, it was like doing a seven-step drop. That was something I hadn't done in college, or, you know, really being under center, doing play action and stuff. That's what I had to get used to. But, you know, when you think about the younger kids in college, I think they don't have as much time as we have. So the coaches can't really, you know, give them as much information as we get. You know, they have to give it to them in small bits and pieces and try and work with that. So I think the time increments will probably hurt that. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they figured it out.
Any college QBs you like watching right now?
Man, Deshaun was my favorite. He's a beast,
so
man.
And he's going to be in the combine.
He's going to be so good when he gets to the league. Yeah. You know, I look at Lamar. He's from down my way down in Florida.
Yes.
Florida boy. You know, we always produce the best. You know, he's going to probably win the Heisman.
Georgia
again
produces
next year.
The best, by the way, but it's okay.
Maybe. But, you know, I love watching Lamar. I watch them all, man. I watch them all from a quarterback's perspective. So,
just,
you know, I get mad when they make mistakes. And, you know, when they throw touchdowns, I'm cheering right with them. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, obviously, for everyone listening to the podcast, knows that it's really about the human element of it. We don't talk too much about football, but obviously, news broke today that I had no idea about.
Yeah.
Obviously, everything pending physical, all that stuff. So this is all a hypothetical question and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But how amazing is it going to be with the Giants?
I think it's going to be special. You know, I think that's a very special organization.
All the fans are happy to have you.
Tweets. I mean, they've been tweeting me and Instagramming me and stuff. And, you know, I haven't been able to get back to them, but, eventually I will. But, I mean, I think it's just a first-class organization. You know, I think, you know, they'll have a great shot at winning the Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years. So, next year, along with the next 2 or 3 years. So, you know, I think that's definitely a great situation for myself, you know, to be able to learn from a Hall of Fame quarterback in Eli, continue to learn from my boy B. Marsh, who's always had my back and always been in my corner, as well as Coach McAdoo, you know, Coach Spagnuolo. And it's going to be great. It's going
to
be great.
And obviously, I cover the Giants a lot. It's a great organization. Love going to that locker room. Everybody there is so friendly. But the thing that's going to be so interesting about that is you do get to learn from Eli.
Yes.
So what is this year going to be like where that's really going to be the focus, is just kind of improving your game, learning from the best?
Well, it's going to be great because I get a chance, like you said, to learn from one of the better quarterbacks and, you know, some of the better coaches, I think, in the league. And, you know, I just appreciate the fact that, you know, they see potential in me and would, you know, like me to come on board. And I'm going to be a sponge, man. I'm going to work my butt off, you know, just be working and, you know, learning as much as I can. Keep my notebook, you know, right on my hip and, you know, writing down every little detail, because it's important that you know, you take the life lessons and then, you know, you apply them. So I'm going to try and do that.
Yeah. When this year is over, what do you want to be able to say you got better at?
Everything from, you know, mechanics, fundamentals, you know, my knowledge of the game, you know, just execution, my hunger. I want that to continue to grow. Just everything in general. I don't think there's one thing that I've cornered the market on. So I think that everything has to get better and better.
Yeah. Now, I'm a big Brandon Marshall fan. So I was very excited to see. Obviously, he was leaving the Jets. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to cover him anymore. But then he went to the Giants.
Yeah.
So tell me about y'all's relationship, because you seem to be very close.
Well, you know, it started when I was actually in California. I was at a bowling alley in L.A., and I got a call from this random number. I answered, and it's, you know, hey, it's Brandon Marshall. And he was talking about, you know, coming over to the Jets at the time. And we had a really good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment, I left, you know, just really impressed with the guy. And then we started working together down in Florida, building our relationship there. Went to the Jets, started building it there. Unfortunately, man, we just hadn't had enough time to play together. You know, I wish we would have had more playing time together. Mm-hmm. But our relationship hadn't changed. You know, we're still quarterback, receiver, and, you know, it's like big brother, you know, little brother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talk about a guy who has gone through his share of obstacles and has overcome them. And he uses those lessons to, you know, kind of, you know, keep my head up and be like, hey, man, if I can get through it, you know you can get through this little stuff. So, like, having a guy like that who is doing a lot for the community right now, is doing a great job with Project 375 and all that, and just having him in my corner, I think it just, you know, it does wonders for a young guy like myself, because you got a guy who can teach you from his own lessons.
Yeah, how, I guess, crucial is that to have that person in a locker room, that person that you know that you can go to, and do you see yourself being that person for a lot of other players?
Yeah, I mean, I'm entering that stage now, you know, going into my fifth year. And, you know, I can help a lot of younger guys. You know, it's not as new to me as it was maybe 4 years ago. So I can help younger guys in whatever field that they need. You know, I was doing that the last 2 years. Whenever we get a new guy in, I, you know, take them into the indoor at 6 a.m. and, you know, walk them through the 2-minute drill or walk them through some of the signals so that they can catch up and be ready to play on Sundays. And, you know, that's something I'll try and continue to do, you know, because I think that helps the team.
I mean, it's really so dope talking to you, because it just seems like you have evolved so much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, life is about evolution, man. You can't stay in the same place. Yeah. You can't be in the same mind state. And, you know, I have evolved, and I'm going to continue to evolve, because that's just life. You know?
Exactly. And, of course, like, obviously, so you were with the Jets, and that was, like, a tough situation. The Jets always have some type of quarterback drama.
Right.
So how did you deal with kind of being with the gangrene and going through those years? And I'm sure were tough at times.
Well, you know, I just appreciate them giving me the opportunity to play in the NFL. You know, you can never take that for granted, because it's a special opportunity. And, you know, things weren't always great, but there was a lot of good times. You know, there were great times. And, you know, I will always kind of have that regret, because I wanted to do so many things for that franchise, man. I really did. And, you know, I will always have that regret if it doesn't work out, you know, because, you know, I'm not a quitter. I don't like to lose, you know, and I don't like to give up on things. But, you know, sometimes in business you have to go your separate ways and you have to, you know, part ways. But I would still be in the same city. So it's kind of ironic that how that works, you know.
I know. I love it for sure. So obviously I've been talking to you. I know how you are. I know how smart you are. I know how nice you are, how sweet you are. If you could talk to all the fans out there and tell them just something about yourself, what would you say?
Man, I just love football, man. I love football so much. Like, I'm a fan just like they are. You know, I watch all the old classic games. I've watched every single touchdown pass Brett Favre's thrown. Mm-hmm. You know, every single one that Tom Brady's thrown. Like, I go back into the archives and watch football, because that's where it started. You know, I think the fundamentals were so much better back then. You know, now we're kind of getting away from that and just kind of freestyling. But, you know, I'm a fan, but I'm also a hardworking player. You know, I want to be one of the greatest. I want to be one of the best. I'll never lower my standards for anybody. So, to the fans, man, just, you know, keep supporting, you know, and I'll keep working hard.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This is going to be such a great year for you. And up to this point, do you feel like you've gotten a fair shot in the league?
I don't know what's fair and what's not, you know, but I have gotten a shot. So, you know, I can say that I got a shot. And, you know, I think I'll get another shot eventually. And when that time comes, man, I'm going to be so ready for it.
Yeah,
you're damn right. I'm going to be so ready for it. I'm going to be, you know, because I'm in such a great space mentally right now. You know, I don't have any, you know, real regrets about anything. You know, I can't really say that I, you know, have any bad blood towards anybody. I'm so positive right now and just such a great spot.
And you can see it. I mean, you're so happy. Yeah,
like, I can't, you know, be happier, because I'm blessed and, you know, life has given me a lot. So I'm happy for it.
I love it. Okay, so I told you I was going to ask Twitter for questions. Yes. Let's check. Let's see who they talking about. What they talking about. Alrighty. You got a lot. So I got to try and, like, shuffle through these. Someone said, how good do you look in blue?
We'll see. Hopefully great.
Alright, let's see. Got some more. Best thing about Morgantown?
Oh, man. The Mountaineers. Come on out. Going down to Cheat Lake. Yeah. Hanging out. And, you know, the whole atmosphere, man. It's just great.
Are you really a Mets fan?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Mike Piazza was one of my favorite growing up, and you know, one of the only catchers who can actually hit. And he was actually my favorite, so I am a Mets fan.
Were you a multi-sport athlete growing up?
Yes.
Okay. What all did you play?
Basketball, baseball, football, chess club, Bowling.
Chess club.
Whatever I can compete in.
I love that. Do you still play chess?
Yes. All the time.
Are you like good?
I'm good.
Really?
Really good.
Let me have to do a feature on you playing chess. That's actually really dope. I didn't even know that. Okay, let's see. Favorite game at Virginia Tech?
Favorite game at West Virginia?
They meant to say West Virginia.
Yeah. Had to be that Orange Bowl game in Miami. And I literally grew up a lake over from that stadium. And to play, like, literally in my backyard with my grandmother there, all my family there. I probably had, like, over 300 or 400 people in attendance. And for us to beat Clemson, who I thought was way better than us at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had so many great players. But I just think we wanted it more that day. And, you know, to hold that trophy in my backyard, that was great.
Now, I have a question. I'd like to ask athletes this when they come on the show. If you could make an offense, so if any football players that ever played, you can pick a quarterback. I'll give you a quarterback, wide receiver, two wide receivers, and a running back. Tell me that dream tandem.
My quarterback would either be Brett Favre or Michael Vick. I'm not sure. That's a toss-up.
Okay.
Running back, Emmett. Wideouts, Jerry, Lynn Swan, and probably Larry Fitzgerald.
You know what? I am like one of these people that I love Randy Moss. To me, like, it's Randy Moss over Jerry any day.
I mean, Randy Moss is definitely up there too. You know, I was just going off the top of the head, man. Yeah. But I mean, how can you leave Randy out? I mean, he's definitely one of the better ones to ever play.
Yes. Gino, you have been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Is there anything else that you would like to say?
You know, I'm excited, man. Thank you. I look forward to, you know, joining Big Blue, and let's go Giants.
It's going to be fun to cover you in New York now. Giants a lot, so it'd be fun. I'll be able to see you there.
Beautiful.
Yes, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Geno Smith, ladies and gentlemen, Giants fans now have something great to look forward to. I'm sure he's going to be a pleasure to watch. He was a pleasure to interview. I hope that you all enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening. This LA trip has been absolutely amazing, and I have some great guests lined up in the coming weeks. It's going to be amazing. Stick with us, and thank you so much, as always, for listening.